Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Tuesday, June 13th, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. And today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're at page 86, the first paragraph, When We Retire at Night, ending. Inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And we're going to be reading and commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers are The 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Mary P., readers of the text, Jordan L., Lorraine N., and Betsy H. Reference number for Monday, June 12, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,343. That's 20343. And for this morning, Tuesday, June 13th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,345. That's 20345. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Lois P., and Robin P. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone for your service. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I will now ask Joanne L. to read the 12 steps of OA. Star 1, Joanne. Okay, perhaps Joanne had to step away. Betsy H., are you available to take the 12 steps of OA, please?
Yes. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you so much, Betsy H. I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA.
Thanks, Don. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service in the past.
Thank you so much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 86, that first paragraph, When We Retire at Night, ending, Inquire What Corrective Measures Should Be Taken. And we're reading and commenting on this one paragraph today. So I will now ask Jordan L. to begin reading. Star 1,
hey,
Jordan.
Hey, good morning.
Oh, there we are.
Can you hear me, Don? Okay.
Yep, sure.
Thanks for moderating for us this morning, Don. I'm Jordan. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. So when we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we could do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. So first off, I want to remind myself and all of us, public service announcement, that this is not a self-help program. This is a learn to ask God for help so that we can help others or be of service to others program. So I, for me personally, I very much have to let go of my default lens in life. So up until this point, we've been working the steps and we've been cleaning up the past. And so step 11 is where we start to live in the present moment. Which for me, coming into this program, this was literally the first time that I had ever done this. I had not lived a single moment of my life in the present up until this point. I had always lived in the past or the future, at least as far as my thought life goes, right? Like I had always been thinking about living in the past or thinking about living in the future. So this is something that has taken a lot of practice for me, and I continue to practice even with like years sober and years abstinent. But I got to remember that this list of questions here, it's not a default lens that I looked at this lens with was how can Jordan become perfect? And that's not what this is about. It states very clearly early on in the steps that what we seek is a spiritual ideal, this is not about perfection. It's about spiritual progress. And this is sort of my outline for spiritual progress, right? So I'm trying to develop this personal relationship with the God of my understanding. Relationships take time. I have to be willing to give some time towards those relationships in order to develop them. And so this is kind of like my conversation starter with God. this helps me, these questions help me start to develop a relationship. Once I let go of the perfectionism, they help me start to develop a relationship with the God of my understanding, so that I can start living in the present moment and start living this spiritual program of action. And it's quite beautiful. So I wanted to try to keep it brief today, so I'm going to end it there. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Jordan L., for getting us started. I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Lorraine N.
Lorraine N. Press star 1 if you'd like to share and announce your name.
Mary Lee R. In order.
Mary Lee R.
Agnes A.
Agnes A. And was there another voice in there that I missed? I have Lorraine N., Mary Lee R., and Agnes A.
Penny C.
Penny C.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M. And we'll take one more.
Janice K.
Janice K. Perfect. All right. Very good. Lorraine N., please go ahead and get us started, followed by Mary Lee R.
Hi. Good morning, Dawn, and thank you so much for your service. Good morning, everyone. I love this paragraph. I love lots of paragraphs in this book, but this one tells me the book tells me on the previous page that I have a daily reprieve contingent on the basis of my spiritual condition. And what I have is a spiritual malady. So these questions help keep me spiritually fit. And it's easy to let up on the spiritual program of action, yes, and rest on my laurels, which I had been doing without even I'm sure I did know in the back of my mind, but I was slacking on the nightly inventory. I wasn't making a gratitude list, you know, and I was sponsoring and staying abstinent and doing all this other stuff, but I was letting some of the very important spiritual practices kind of slip away. So I'm back at it, and I have been now for a while, and the difference in my attitude is amazing. I don't want to get back into trouble. So with this inventory, to me, is if I'm going through my day monitoring my behavior, thoughts, words, and actions throughout the day, / doing 10 steps, taking my inventory, then I believe I am trying to stay spiritually fit, constantly asking, you know, what my next step is, asking my higher power. And, you know, I love the Thomas Merton prayer where he says something like, I don't know if what I'm doing pleases you, but I hope that my intention to please you pleases you. So I ask myself a lot, how important is it really, you know, compared to my emotional sobriety when I feel myself getting worked up? I do not take a 2x4 to my head or wallow in morbid reflection. That's not useful to anyone. So this is an ancient practice. Somewhere around 400 BC, Socrates said, an unexamined life is not worth living. So I agree with Socrates and my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for the opportunity to share this morning. Lorraine N., Oregon.
Thank you so much, Lorraine N. Mary Lee R., please share with us, followed by Agnes A.
Good morning. Good morning. This is Mary Lee R. in Eugene, Oregon, and I'm so grateful to be here and with all of you. And just in the paragraph before, I had a little note to myself. It's how we cope with our mistakes. And yesterday during the meeting and afterwards, I had a meditation time, and I got the message that I needed to make an amend. And it kind of surprised me because I felt like this person had broken my heart, and what could I possibly have done to deserve that? And I realized there were quite a few things that I did to bring that about. And it says here, we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And it was just such a clear message. So I ran it by my sponsor first. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to write a letter. For me, that dog still bites. I'm not wanting to reinstate a relationship. I'm just needing to clear my side. And then it further goes down here to say, these are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line all we wish, and it is the proper use of the will. I'm just so, so grateful that we have this program and that we speak a common language and that we help each other. And I think that's about it for me this morning. Thank you so much for being here and offering this wonderful service.
Thank you so much, Mary Lee R. Agnes A., please share with us, followed by Penny C.
Hi, good morning. Thanks to all of you that do service and for the opportunity to share. So let's see, step 11, you know, prayer and meditation. I like that when we retire at night, we have another opportunity to touch base, you know, with God. Take an inventory and basically go over the day and, you know, talk about, go do the checklist, the spiritual well-being checklist, right? How was today? Because hopefully we did it for yesterday. We don't worry about tomorrow. And, you know, it gives us an outline. Were we resentful? Were we selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Because just because we are this spiritual path doesn't mean that we've been healed, right? We're still what we are with those tendencies to have these things that lead to, you know, overwhelming emotions in our lives that in the past we didn't know what to do with. We didn't square away the circles. And so we just kept on being in this torpedo that just kept on wanting to be this way, but not being able to be that way because we didn't have the strength. We didn't have the connection. We didn't have the communication. We didn't have the power, all that stuff. This is how we get it, right? We've dealt with step four. That's in the rearview mirror. We really don't worry too much about tomorrow because why worry if you can pray? And why pray if you're going to worry? So living in the moment, we take an inventory with God, in a closer walk with God, and we say, okay, I've been human here. What do I need to do to correct it? Right? And in meditation, we listen to God. We don't just spew. I don't just spew. I say, these are the issues I'm struggling with. And I do my steps 1, 2, and 3 about them. Right? I clean my own street and I say, okay, God, what's the next indicated step? And usually that comes from using the tools of the program. You know, like talking to my sponsor, reading literature, journaling, making outreach calls. So I'm so program that says we just have one day of reprieve. But the key is to work on our spiritual connection with God, knowing ourselves and being of service to others. And so with that, I pass. It's like at the end of the day where I give myself 50%, God says, my child, you're good enough, you know, just keep trying. That's all I ask. And I do these things for you, but I can't do them without you. So with that, I pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Oh, thank you so much, Agnes A. Penny C., please share with us, followed by Joan Marie M., and let us know where you're calling from if you'd like.
Good morning. This is Penny C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area, and thank you. Thank you, everybody, for your service putting this meeting on this morning. I always think of my sister was in both my 12-step programs with me. She passed away 10 years ago, and we used to actually lead workshops at the Region 6 convention almost every year. And she always said when we looked at this nightly review, she would say, think of it as your marching orders for the next day. Read it again in the morning, which I do. I made a document and came up with 12 questions, and I added, was I judgmental and was I grateful? And so looking at this, I turn it into, you know, reminding myself that I'm going to look at this again tonight. And I'm going to ask all these questions of myself, and I want to be able to be positive and to see recovery in these you know, answers to these questions. And I do look at it as my marching orders. Today I need not engage in resentfulness. If I do, I get to a 10th step quickly. I need not be selfish. God, don't let me be dishonest or afraid. Don't let me be judging other people. Help me to be grateful. And the one that I think encompasses all the others is, was I kind and loving toward all? How could I be any of the other difficulty or negativities if I'm kind and loving? It's all wrapped up in that. And I heard on an earlier meeting, and the words were taken right out of my mouth when someone asked the question about how do you deal with morbid reflection. And my first thought in my mind, and the fellow who answered said just the same thing, gratitude. Because negativity can't live in a grateful heart. I learned that a long time ago. And it's so true. The point is, I have to ask God too every single day to help me remember, because as an addict, I can so easily forget my program and the wonderful directions and principles. And so I'm so grateful. I've got to be grateful every single day. There's always something to be grateful for. many, many things. All I have to do is look outside, look up anywhere, and I'm going to pass with that. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Penny C. from Massachusetts. Joan Marie M., please share with us, followed by Janice K. And if you're just joining us, we are on page 86, talking about that first paragraph, when we retire at night, ending with inquire what corrective measures should be taken. So we're commenting on that one paragraph today. So Joan Marie M., please share with us, followed by Janice K. Star 1, Joan Marie.
I'm talking away. Okay. I'm Joan Marie. I'm from Nevada, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater by the grace of God. And I've been in the program of OA for a long time, and I never did this before. And it's, for me, it keeps my side of the street clear and clean so that I hear directly from God. And it says in the sentence before, they are definite and valuable suggestions. That keeps the emotional bondage from building up. And then I react by the pain of that, and I get into compulsive overeating. And if I'm to do that, I will surely die physically, emotionally, and spiritually. So I'm so grateful for the tools that we have, you know, the outreach calls, having a sponsor, having a food plan. All of these things keep me God-conscious and away from my selfish nature. And I'm so grateful. Again, I keep on saying I'm so grateful because I am. And if I work this program as outlined in the big book, I will stay grateful. I will stay joyous. I will stay free. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you all.
Oh, thank you, Joan Marie M. from Nevada. Janice K., please share with us, and then I'll be opening up the line to take some more names.
Okay. Hi, this is Janice K. from Oregon. The nightly review is, for me, hugely significant because it signifies to me an individual in recovery. I may deal with worry, remorse, and morbid reflection, which are also signifiers of a lack of help in my program. But if I hold myself accountable on a daily basis, at least I have a shot and I know when it happens. And it happens out of the blue sometimes. The thing about the beginning the nightly review is that it starts as an action and it generalizes into an attitude toward life and it becomes a lifestyle. And I think ultimately the thing I seek from that lifestyle is this. I want to move from a life of God and me, where God is one place and I am another. And I occasionally shoot off a plea for help to the celestial post office, and God picks it up and he sends back an answer. And I get the help I need, probably. But God is outside of me. I am one place. He is another. It's God and me. What I try to do and try to create, I can only say I do it because I don't want to speak for anyone else on the line. My goal is to live a life of God in me so that all I have to do when I need help is reach. And if I'm successful in creating a good avenue between God and in me, then the need for help doesn't arise as much. The action becomes an attitude, which becomes a lifestyle. So It's not a self-help program. It's a divine intervention. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you so much, Janice Kay from Oregon. And I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? Press star one.
Chevy F.
Chevy
F.
Okay, hold on. One moment. I have Chevy F. And then was there a Marina?
Marina in New Jersey.
Rena in New Jersey. Okay. And who else?
Deb I got E. Montana.
Ronnie.
Deb E. And Ronnie Carolyn. B. And was that Carolyn?
Yes.
Carolyn?
Carolyn.
Okay. And what's your initial, Carolyn?
S like Sam.
Okay. Very good. And I'll take one more name.
Jack A. in Utah.
Jack A. Okay, perfect. Chevy F, Rena, Deb E, Ronnie B, Carolyn S, and Jack A. Chevy F, please get us started and let us know where you're calling from.
Hi, it's Chevy F. I'm very grateful to be here. I'm from New Jersey. I'm taking a walk in the park here. And, I have to say that when I go to bed having unfinished, business, having some amends to make or falling asleep without having cleared those up. Not that it's always possible to do before, before I hit the pillow for whatever reasons, but I do have to say that I have a hard time meditating the next morning. Like, I feel blocked and I feel like, so I'm so grateful. And I used to look at this, doing those 10 steps as like, oh no, what did I do wrong here? And now it's like part of life, they're just these startles that come up, these triggers that come up, and like, let's just, what's my part here? What can I do different? And I'm doing now currently my fourth step, and I keep reaching out to my sponsor to guide me with it, and she. When it gets to the fourth column, she tells me, remember, this is your inventory, not anyone else's. So, what are the lies you've been telling yourself? It's interesting that it took me a while to shift into that mindset. Like, it took me a few attempts to be like, oh, really? Not the other person, me. Not the other person, me. And it's the more I have to do those 10, make those amends and clear things up, the more I, the less I get into, situations, especially with my loved ones and the close people in my life. And it's humbling. It's humbling when I need to do that. And another little point is that I've noticed that when I'm very quick to apologize without having done the 10th step and really going through, the phases of that. It's not the apology just doesn't, it doesn't clear me up. I'm not peaceful inside. But when it's really about what's my side, I sleep better and I wake up. And not that that's the goal, but the goal is for me to be aligned with God's will for me. So grateful for that clear, simple tool. So with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share. And thank you all for being here.
Thank you so much, Chevy F. from New Jersey. Rena from New Jersey, please share with us, followed by Deb E.
Thank you for your service. And I am so grateful for this reading today. It dovetails with what I had been feeling when I woke up this morning and an outreach call I had with a fellow in another program today where we were both talking about when self-pity and self-absorption is magnified, how painful that is. But then we also talked about the solution, which is, are we doing something for other people? Am I thinking of someone else, or is this all about me? And the pain, the bondage of self comes from me thinking about me and feeling sorry for me. And that's what makes me want to eat. so yeah, I decided that when I got back home this morning, that I would make a list of things that I'm grateful for in God, and as well as making a list of what I could do for other people. And it's right here in this paragraph that we just read. I'm also grateful for the lead share at the beginning of the reading about, I'm not here to be perfect. I'm not here to help myself. I'm here to ask God to help me. So there's no reason for me to keep going down and down and down in my feelings, but instead to ask God to lift me up, to remove my problem, to remove my self-centered fear, to make amends as needed, and to keep myself connected to God and others. Thank you for your service. I pass.
Thank you, Rena from New Jersey. Deb E., please share with us, followed by Ronnie B.
Yes, good morning. This is Deb E. in Western Montana, and thank you for service to everybody and for the previous comments. You know, when I look at where I am in this life of addiction, in the past, it was always looking at what did I do wrong? How wrong was I? Where did I make the mistakes? And I learned that many, many years ago as a child in the church, in the organized group that I was with. That's the understanding that I was at. But now in recovery, I look at, there's two sentences here, a question and a sentence. I think about these two because it really is this constructive process rather than simply, oh, woe is me, what did I do wrong? It is, or were we thinking of what we could do for others? Of, and here's the part I want to focus on, what we could pack into the stream of life. In addiction, with food or anything else, we are isolated. We are not living. We are in our own holes, in pain, in agony, separated from our higher power and all else. But when in recovery, we are returned to the stream of life. And I love that process because we're not being asked to be holy and to do good deeds only. We are asked to live it every day. Somebody previously said it's a lifestyle. It is a way of living. And then the warning immediately following that, but we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, morbid reflection. And I think that's so important. What it's talking about here is that concept of emotional sobriety. Not only do we join life, and we take our inventories, we look at what we're doing, but we also don't get stuck in it anymore. We turn it over, we do a 10th step, we ask our higher power to help us, and then we get right back into what can I do for somebody else. So those two sentences are my guide for where I am in recovery, and I thank you for the opportunity to share, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Deb E. from Montana. Ronnie B., please share with us, followed by Carolyn S.
Yes, thank you. Ronnie B. in Missouri, compulsive overeater. I love this page from Big Book 86. And many years ago, I was in a program that was required. I do this every day. And at first, I couldn't see the value in that. And over time, I did because it's a guide. And it keeps me on my toes and it keeps me fresh. So was I irritated or resentful? And at first, I would say yes. And the next question is, was I selfish? And I would say to my sponsor, no. And she would say, every time you're irritated or resentful, there's a level of selfishness within you. And I really fought that for a while. So like the next day when I did it, and I had to say, was I irritated or resentful? I said, no. Because I absolutely was not at a place of being more honest. But over the years, that did change. And I grew to absolutely love this. Because it's not all about how bad am I, right? Or however I want to term that. Everybody's different. But I started to see the part where it said, was I thinking of what I could do for others and pack into the stream of life? That became very important because over time I realized if I do more of that, I will do less resentment and selfishness. So the more I increased what I could do for others and pack into the stream of life, for the most part, the more level my own life got. And my sponsor had to point out at the time, I'd say, oh, I'm having a hard time, what I do for others. And she would say, well, don't you take care, here's an example, don't you take care of your son's 110-pound dog every single day? And that's big dog for me. And I'm like, I do. And she'd say, well, that's something that can go in there. You know, do you sponsor people? Yes. That's something that you could do for others. Packing into the stream of life, doing service, that's the stream of life. So she had to, like, kind of guide me. And, in fact, yesterday I just went over this with my OA sponsor. And the part in here that I'm focusing on, because it can be very difficult, there's no perfection, was I kind and loving toward all. So that can't be yes every single day of my life. Because all encompasses was I irritated by someone in a meeting? Did someone cut me off and did I have negative thinking? So I have to be very honest about this. So the last week I've been listening in my meditation. I use Insight Timer. And there's a 4-minute, I don't know what you want to call it, meditation song, beautiful lyrics of loving kindness to all. And that's the theme of this, loving kindness to all. And when I do that, like the last several days of time, when I do that, it helps me to improve my loving kindness. Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much, Ronnie B. from Missouri. Carolyn S., please share with us, followed by Jack A.
Hi, this is Carolyn S. from New York, recovered compulsive overeater. I'm part of a Step 11 group, so every night I do this with somebody, and it's very helpful for me to look at myself, but also to hear what my partner has to say, because I tend to look at all the negative and say, I didn't do enough, I didn't do enough. And they say, but look what you did do. And the review, again, is meant to be constructive. It's not about tearing myself down for all the things I didn't do or should have done. Or, you know, it's about getting the street clean again, so I can go to bed with a calm mind. So I also, when I do my Step 11 review, I write out each thing separately, you know, the resentful, was I resentful, ? And I put something in there, usually not just yes, no. Was I selfish? Was I dishonest? Was I afraid? And so each of these defects gets addressed. But I also have to write out corrective action, which I realize I haven't been doing so well. I need to put that into my action plan for the next day. And if I find that the same things, you know, are coming up in my Step 11, you know, or if there's a lot of them coming up in the Step 11, I obviously missed an opportunity to do a Step 10, because I shouldn't be coming into Step 11 with a lot of resentment or fear. You know, those things should be taken care of along the day. And I can make excuses. You know, I work with the public. I can't just take off for 5 minutes. But if it's important enough, and it is, I've got to find a way. You know, even if it just means writing down the resentment in that moment, and then as soon as I have the opportunity, making the 10th step, you know, giving it to somebody, and then trying to help somebody else, because that's our primary purpose, is to help other people who are suffering and sick, and that includes people in and out of the room. When I do a review on someone in my family that's upset me, first of all, you know, look at me. What did I do to bring this on? And, you know, what can I do to change it? So an action plan for tomorrow where I address the things I could have done better. That's all. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you so much, Carolyn S. from New York. Jack A., please share with us.
Hello, this is Zach A. from Utah. I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. So grateful to be here this morning, to be part of the stream and the flow of life on this call, and to feel the support of everyone. And yeah, I looked up the word morbid, and it was like characterized by an unusual or fascination, or to something about an unusual interest in disturbing and unpleasant subjects. So I thought, you know, why would I have an unusual interest in something that's disturbing and unpleasant? Well, I think I'm getting a payoff from that when I when I beat myself up, when I have morbid, when I drift into morbid self-reflection, I'm getting a payoff from that. What's the payoff? The payoff is my ego. I get to think that I'm special in this distorted way, that I'm more special than other people because of how much I'm beating myself up. And it's like an inverted form of pride. It's still pride, though, because it's still self-obsessed. It's still all about me, me, me. Look how bad I am. Look how messed up I am. And so to me, this is really helpful to let go of that and to just recognize I'm one among many. I can be part of the human race. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Jack A. from Utah. And I now have a time for one more share. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences. So who hasn't shared in a while that would like to share on this paragraph? Press star one if you'd like to share. Am I being heard? May I be heard?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Would someone else
Oh,
thank you so much. Would someone like to take us out with a one last share here? Like a 2 minute share, 1.5 minute?
Noelle J.
Noelle J, take it away.
Hi, everyone. I'm Kelly.
Noelle J. I heard first. So, Kelly, please come back and share tomorrow. We'd love to hear from you.
Okay, will do. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Recover compulsive overeater. Grateful for this meeting. The nightly inventory is really good. I had a moment last night where I did my nightly inventory and was just extremely honest on it. And I guess I'm just grateful for the way that the program is set up. And, you know, the big book is, I guess, divinely ordered, or, you know, whatever it is they say in program. But it really is the way that the program is set up. I don't have to, there's so much freedom in working my program, just working my program. I feel like I'm running into walls and challenges and blockages and obstacles right now with my program. I'm looking for a sponsor. Just shifts and changes in my life. And I'm so grateful that I don't have to, the way that I live my life today is so different than the way that I lived my life before recovery, and that I really am able to just surrender my recovery. And like when things happen to my higher power, and don't even really have to think about, you know, making something happen. I simply just have to do my nightly inventory, or I simply just have to do a 10 step, or I simply have to make an outreach call.
Okay.
Thank you. So thank you for listening.
Thank you so much, Noelle J. And we're now going to close the meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared, with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Lorraine N. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
I would love to. Thank you. Good morning, everyone. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to God and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Amen.